Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7. 365. Well, the man who controls, I know he loves that. The man who's responsible, no, I don't think he quite likes that. The man who is making us think carefully about all of our road planning throughout this Rock Hill Fort Mill area is David Hooper, and he's back with us today for another Straight Talk program. And has much changed since we last talked? Are we still growing? Is roads still a headache?
They still are. a lot is changing. Things are changing every day. We've got more folks in the area, and as I think I had mentioned before we came on the air, you know, when you get out there on I-77, there's not a lot of margin for error, so to speak. There are cars coming from every direction.
I remember, and I may have said this to you on the last show, but I'm going to bring it up again. Years ago, when I had the former mayor, Doug Eccles, sitting right where you are, he said to me, when we started talking about traffic, he says, you know, Manning, by, I don't know what it was, 2020, probably 2025, he said, by 2025, Interstate 77 is going to be rated an F. I said, excuse me? He said, an F. I said, explain. He said, you're going to drive down Cherry Road, you're going to get on the on-ramp, and you get on the I-77, you're going to stop. I said, I'm right. Going to stop? He said, the traffic is going to be just blah, blah, blah. Well, isn't it interesting, before 2020 even hits here, he's right on target because it basically stops at Highway 160 every morning.
Yes, it does. I think once you get from 160 all the way up to the state line, it is bumper to bumper, and there's a period during the morning rush where there is a level of intensity out there, and there's not a lot of movement.
So the bad news is even though we have been able to expand what used to be a four-lane interstate system to eight lanes, thanks to Pennies for Progress and help from Uncle Sam, am I right or wrong? There is no more right of way to expand it to six lanes each way? Or?
You're right, Manning. I mean, we don't have the land space to in effect widen our way out of it. We're going to have to find more efficient ways for people to move around. And when we're talking about I-77, that means we need to look at our mode split. How many people are in vehicles? How many people are looking for bus transit? And then, as we've talked about previously, how many people would look and utilize a rapid transit alternative, like bus rapid transit or light rail?
Well, we know, I think, that if we had light rail, which is really pie in the sky because of the cost, I believe that would be a very popular alternative and people would jump on it. I don't think they're going to do that with buses.
I've heard that as well. I think there's a couple of things at work there. I think one is a perception issue. I've heard one person say to me very candidly, and they said, you know, we're just too cool for buses. And I said, okay, that's fair. Let's go ahead and acknowledge that and put that on the table. I think you're right. There are some who won't opt for buses. But if you can get a fixed system built, I think rapid transit could definitely find a following. I can remember back before they started the light rail option up in Charlotte, the corridor looked very different, and there was a high degree of skepticism before they began operations. But when they did, they went to almost full capacity very rapidly, and it stayed there.
Well, with that all being said, if you had a rapid transit system that was a bus, you would need another lane on the interstate to do that. And we just said there was no more land.
Right.
So then you're going to shrink four lanes of traffic down to three so that the bus can have its own lane?
Well, not necessarily. It doesn't have to be. I know at a gut level it may seem like those are our choices. Bus rapid transit kind of occurs in two forms. One is kind of free-floating, where it can be in its own dedicated right-of-way, but it can also go out in the general public or general purpose lanes. Or you can have it confined to one lane. depending on what works best and what type of operational constraints you're trying to overcome at particular points along the trip.
Really, the best solution is one that I think the city's been working on a long time. Create more jobs, knowledge-based jobs here in Rock Hill, so people can live and work right here and don't have to get on that highway every day.
Manny, that's an excellent point. That very much needs to be a part, and I'm sure our local elected officials across the region are well aware of this, which is, you know, we can make all the operational improvements we want. There's going to always be a certain proportion of the population that goes up towards Charlotte. However, we certainly want to build up our own economic base here within the RFATS area, so that you've got more intra-area trips, so that you don't have everyone doing the same thing at the same time Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
We can't route everyone along one corridor and think we're going to have an efficient and reliable outcome, besides the other benefits that would be realized by the county.
Now, we've seen a lot of this beginning to take shape. Kingsley, of course, has got a lot of Class A office space up there. Some major employers, although they've been so successful that they have their own traffic issues trying to get people in and out of Kingsley. But that's a whole other story.
Yes, sir.
But what's going to be happening above it, up there at Gold Hill Road, is the same thing moving its way south while Kingsley continues to move its way north. And you've heard these same projections. I don't know what the year is. 20 years from now, there are going to be 50,000 new jobs in that area?
I've heard that number. It is there's a lot of potential there. There's a lot that can happen at the Kingsley site. It's already a tremendous success up there. I was actually up there earlier this week, and it is fantastic to be there. But I hear you. When they develop the backside and they put the former Knight Stadium to work, you know, you're going to have a real unique operational challenge, which is we're spending money right now to improve the interchange at Gold Hill Road. RFATS has prioritized reconfiguring the interchange at 160 as its top priority. But as you said, if we get to that point where you're talking 40, 50,000 new jobs in that general vicinity, I think a prior discussion point will probably reemerge, and that's whether we would be able to possibly incorporate a new interchange at Colthorpe Road. Now, that will put a new interchange between two not more than a mile apart, but it may be a necessary component to managing the growth that may materialize in that area.
Shoo-wee. Well, you just said the magic word, new interchange, so I'm just going to dovetail onto that and ask you how involved you are, which I know you must be, for the new interchange that's going to occur because of the Carolina Panther development.
Yes, sir. We are certainly working on that. Whenever we make new points of interstate access, we have to put that into our regional travel demand model. We've got to look at the connecting roads that are going to be a part of that. And we need to basically do our air quality testing. We need to run the model and see what does it bring to how the network functions, and then also how does it alter existing driver behavior.
Uh-huh.
Because separate from the Panther site, if you will, when you put in a new interchange, you are likely to draw drivers from other corridors who may take side roads up to use that interchange. And so there's a couple of different ways that we have to look at it, and we certainly have. I've shared that with our partners up in Charlotte, as well as the Federal Highway Administration and SCDOT, and we've passed all of our required air quality testing, and we're cleared to go. But we are expecting a real operational footprint from that project.
Well, when I saw the Panthers roll out their plan for that entire area, first of all, I was really impressed. They must have had, I think Mark Hart, who heads up the Panther organization, said we've had 100 people working on this project since the first of the year. And they got all these experts in all these different areas. One is, of course, traffic and roads. And they pointed out on all their PowerPoints, you know, what this is going to be for Mount, what this will mean to Mount Gallant Road, what's going to happen with Eden Terrace. I mean,
yes.
All those roads.
Yes. Mount Gallant is one that we're very focused on at RFATS. It's already slated to be widened to 3 lanes. My sense is, in looking at the operational data, that really needs to go to 5 lanes with the new interchange and the Panther site. It will carry a significant amount of traffic, and I agree with you, it's going to impact Eden Terrace as well.
So I'm interested in how you get your marching orders to work on this interchange. I mean, the Panthers make their big announcement.
Right. They,
now, does somebody pick up the phone and call David Hooper and say, David, here's a new project for you. I mean, how does that work?
Right. I mean, somewhat like that. I mean, you see the news coverage. I receive phone calls from folks at the respective jurisdictions, York County, the City of Rock Hill, the Department of Transportation. And we identify, okay, what is envisioned, what are the parameters, you know, what is the timeline, when will this be operational? And then I need to basically go forward and amend that into all of our relevant planning documents, go through any procedural requirements, put that out so the public has an opportunity to comment on that, and then send that to our federal and state partners in Federal Highways and SCDOT, and have them finalize that and approve that. And once that's cleared, then they're free to move into preliminary engineering.
Well, I would imagine that whole process for this interchange is on a fast track because they want that thing built and operational by 21. Is that right? 2021?
I believe it's 2022. It's within a few years at most.
But that's a fast track.
Yes, sir, it is.
That's a real fast track.
Yes, it is.
So somebody who you just mentioned calls you and says, now, David, this is on a fast track. This is going to happen. Right. Put the metal to the pedal.
And that can certainly be the message to me. Thankfully, when we do interchange work, I rely heavily on the Department of Transportation down in Columbia. Generally, local planning agencies wouldn't get directly involved in the management of interchanges. So we've got a lot of folks down at SCDOT who are key point people on this project. And so they've taken it from that initial announcement.
And, of course, this is a project that was part of the package that caused the Panthers to decide to land here. The state of South Carolina, and I don't know where their dollars are coming from, is going to be funding this. This is not involve a pennies project. This is not any pennies for progress money going into this. This is a separate pot of money.
Manning, this is a completely separate pot of money. There is no pennies money there. There's no money from RFATs there. I think this involves funding from our friends down at the Commerce Department and others, as well as I believe some applications were put in for some federal funding support, as well as the Panthers organization themselves. So, but they're bringing the funding to the table. This is not coming from York County or RFATs.
So based on the timeline you just outlined, when would dirt start to move for this project?
Well, I would say if we're looking at a two-year timeline, I imagine they're going to do contractual matters first quarter of this year. You might see that. I'm hesitant to guess what the DOT project manager schedule says, their tentative schedule, but I would say it could be the latter part of this year, the very end of this year, maybe not this year, 2020, or shortly thereafter.
Yeah. I would say that they need to get underway by 2020, that's for sure, if they're going to get it operational in 2 years.
Yes.
Very interesting. So this whole impact of this project on this region, as far as the existing road network, is something very much in your wheelhouse now as far as all the other things that are on the table?
It is. It has to be. You know, this reminds me of the Kingsley development. You know, there are developments, and then there are what we call developments of regional impact. This is obviously one of those. And when you get those types of developments, it's not just the site-specific development, but there's, again, a lot of the other changes that will go along adjacent to that site that have not materialized yet. And so you have to be alert to what might come online, how that's going to change operational behavior, and how it may ultimately change the total level of demand that moves through that area. There's a lot of unknown variables that have to be tracked, and it is a process that's going to stay front and center at RFATS for a number of years to come.
Anything new to report on the State Infrastructure Bank and the aging request for dollars to do these interchanges on I-77?
Right. Manning, the latest that I have is that I think we're optimistic that a response to the application that the county put forward will be able to come forward hopefully before the end of January. And so we are very hopeful and optimistic that we can get a good result. You've got a lot of interchanges in that application. All are good candidates. All are important to the region. And so hopefully they will certainly view it favorably.
Meanwhile, you have already started one interchange, which is the Gold Hill Road interchange. I have not been up there recently, and I'm glad I haven't been. That's going to be our very first reverse diamond. Is that right?
Diverging diamond.
Diverging diamond. when do you think that project will be done?
Oh, I'd say we're within a year on that.
Within a year.
Oh yeah, that's much further along. They're making good progress there, and that'll be done fairly shortly.
Well, during that construction period, they're doing a lot of this work during the non-peak hours. Is that correct?
They are. They are.
Thank heavens, because it's a mess.
Yes.
It's a mess when they're not even building up there.
Yes. That's why we're doing it. That's why it's being done.
So the concept of having not just one interchange converted to the, diverting? I got it wrong again.
It's what's called a DDI, or Diverging Diamond Interchange.
Diverging Diamond. What you hope to do, if you get the State Infrastructure Bank money, is to do it there, do it at 160, right. Come on right on down the road. You're going to do it what? You're going to do it at Cherry Road?
Well, Celanese and Cherry are one of the projects in the application, yes.
Is there one more interchange in there?
Carowinds.
Oh, my God, yes, Carowinds. Sorry, how could I forget Carowinds?
Yes.
Of course, Carowinds is interesting because they have their own little pot of extra dollars that comes in off of ticket sales that they worked out years and years ago, which helps at least for them to do certain kinds of stuff.
Right. They do. I'd say the one thing about Carowinds that stands out to me the most is it's a really unique project. When you think about all of the influence from Highway 49 on the west, 51 on the east, as well as just the north-south movement, the configuration there is a little bit more involved. There's a bigger price tag there. And so there's a few more elements that have to be taken into account at Carowinds. And so it'll be interesting to see whether that comes through fully funded from the SIP application or partially funded. That could be an option as well. But of all those interchanges, 160 is listed as the number one priority. And one thing I want to make very clear is whether the SIP application comes through at that point or not, RFATS is committed to funding that project. The 160 interchange is fully funded and is going forward.
So whether the money comes from the dollars that are available to you or through the State Infrastructure Bank, don't make any difference. You're going to get that thing done.
That's getting done.
So that one would get started when?
Well, we're actually, it's a great question. We've actually got a public meeting coming up on Thursday, January 30th at 5 to 7 at Real Life Church, which I believe is at 1930 Pleasant Road. And at that meeting, DOT is going to unveil the three different alternatives that appear to work best. And they're going to share this with the public and area stakeholders and ask for their input. Which one do you like? Which one do you have concerns about? What other elements of the planning process do you think need to be reflected that aren't currently there? And so once that's done, we're going to move into our next phases there, right of way and into construction, hopefully within 2 to 3 years.
2 to 3 years?
Years.
Get it built and done?
No, to begin construction.
Yeah. Remember, everybody, when you get into a road project, I always remember this from, I guess it's Patrick Hamilton, it's going to take 7, 8, 9 years minimum.
From start to finish.
From start to finish. All the design stuff, the acquisition of the right-of-way, which can be a headache in itself, the environmental issues that have to go. Okay. I just hope I live to see all this stuff. It's kind of neat. All right, we're going to have to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Of course, if you've been here or you listen to the program, we know you're in your car and you can shout it out with us. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, prepared right before your eyes here at Substation 2. We're all going to do the white letters together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Gold Hill Emergency Department is opening soon in Fort Mill. This is Michelle Walk, Emergency Department Director at Piedmont Medical Center. This January, Piedmont Medical Center will open the area's first standalone emergency room. Open 24/7, 365, the Gold Hill ED location will offer the same services as a hospital-based emergency room. There are 12 treatment spaces where our team of emergency medical professionals will be ready to treat any medical condition or injury you or your family need when it matters most. Visit GoldHillER.com to learn more.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
Good Pharmacy, taking care of families for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. We have six pharmacists that are knowledgeable, friendly, and ready to get to know your family and their needs.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Relax. Love your car payment with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. If you're ready to buy your new car and start making those unforgettable memories, Founders features an easy online application, flexible terms, low rates, 24-hour account access with Founders Online, and fast, friendly service. Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com or one of our more than 30 offices to see if you qualify for membership. Relax. Love your car payment with Founders. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Here's an idea from Substation 2 for your next business meeting.
Box lunches are perfect for your corporate outings. We include a 6-inch sandwich we put in a side. You can get chips, potato salad, macaroni salad. We throw in a cookie. You get some tea or lemonade with that. It's basically a complete meal in a box.
Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. David Hooper is with us today. He is the man who runs top of the food chain at RFATS, the Rock Hill Fort Mill Area Transit Study. Very quickly, there's regions all over the country that have the equivalents of RFATS. Is that correct?
Yes, they do. I mean, every urbanized area across the country where there's a population of 50,000 or greater within a certain geography will have a designated MPO, which is what RFATS is. It's basically a regional transit agency as a way for federal money that's set for transportation to flow to the state departments of transportation and then to have a recipient within a region that can then rationally and logically program that to priority projects. And that's something RFATS has been doing for a number of years now.
I love the words rationally and logically because you do have a board that you answer to, which is composed of elected officials. And when you get rationally and logically, I'm just wondering, I'm just teasing.
Pass.
It's good. It's good. All right. Well, so let's look at the bigger picture.
Okay.
This is, we were talking about Rock Hill and Fort Mill, the area. But this is the same story further right on up the road. I mean, Charlotte has got this headache. Above them, you got Statesville, so do you look at this whole big quadrant at some point to try to figure out what we do as a whole big region?
That's a great point, man. We actually do. You know, recently we had discussions over the last number of years of just the point you're making of saying, you know, the changes we're seeing are not just occurring within York and Lancaster County, but they're across the entire Metrolinna region. And so we've basically put together an I-77 corridor study that literally runs from the middle of RFATS down at exit 73, and it runs all the way up to I-40. And it is a large planning area, but when we look at the draw, the operational draw that's going to move through the region, we have to cast the net that broadly.
So how many people does this, I mean, you're in the midst of this now? You're starting it?
Yes.
So how many David Hoopers are involved in this?
Well, there are four MPOs within the Metrolinna region. You've got the two state DOTs involved, North Carolina Federal Highway, South Carolina Federal Highway. So you've got all the federal and state partners involved. You've got area stakeholders that are involved. We certainly want to hear from significant businesses within the region and from a whole range of stakeholders who have an interest in how I-77 functions.
So basically we're going to say we've got millions of cars that are going up and down this corridor probably every month. And how can we make this traffic move smoother and fast. I mean, I don't even know how you begin to tackle that.
Well, one of the things you're trying to get at is, you know, for anyone who's traveled up and down I-77, you'll notice that there are different types of lane configurations at different points along the route. You may have a certain number of lanes, and then you may go from 6 to 4, and then you may go to where there's toll roads, and you may do other things. What we're looking for with this study fundamentally is to make sure that we've got broad operational compatibility, maybe 2 miles in on both sides of the interstate, so as the entire region continues to grow, when we look at other types of transportation improvements that make operational sense, we can implement them and get the best result along that long stretch of I-77.
So if you come up with an idea for a particular road that's feeding I-77, somebody's going to take that idea and put it in their plan?
That's the expectation, which is you want the MPOs to take the relevant parts of this study and incorporate it into their plan so we can avoid any unnecessary conflicts.
So if it goes into your plan, let's say, then you have to juggle that with all the other things that are already in your plan that your group of elected officials have to sign off. I mean,
We do, man. And I mean, if we just think of it, this is one of the challenges. You know, we talked earlier about the interchanges. You know, I've often said, which I can make an interchange or not I, but the process can change an interchange structure, reconfigure it to make it as efficient as it can be. But then you're going to travel north, and you're going to pass Westinghouse and Tivola. Those places don't go away no matter how efficient we are. It's that broad swath along the corridor that matters. And we've got to be able to have, again, I use that word, broad operational compatibility. Are we doing things in a way that are basically conducive with our adjacent planning partners?
Yeah, well, a perfect example of how that's not happening is what I call malfunction junction, where old 485 hits I-77, and it just, I don't care what time of day you're going up there, it's just, you're either going to slow down considerably or you're just going to dead stop. It's just, how did that ever happen?
Oh, I mean, I certainly want to try to read back into what the initial thinking was. I mean, the basis for having the outer ring is sound. I think what's really got us is how much the region's growth has just taken off. And you've got just dramatically more demand level on I-485, on I-77, and you know it's almost like an accordion, which is, you know, you kind of expand it out and you get all this demand, and then you get the kind of that crunch element to it. And I think when you just bring ever higher levels of demand on the existing infrastructure, you get this type of operational dysfunction.
All right, we got about 45 seconds left, and I want you to tell me, what is the status of the very controversial toll road along I-77 from wherever it starts to wherever it ends?
It is now open. I don't see it as fully utilized. It's getting a small following. I think people are thankful that the construction is over.
Yeah.
But like most major improvements, I mean, there's a period of transition. Some people seem comfortable with it and are using it. Others, I think, are creatures of habit, and they want to stay on their existing road, and if that means they slow down a bit, they're going to slow down a bit.
And has the state of North Carolina accepted this thing and stopped the court battle over it, or what?
I've not heard of any active litigation at this point. It's open at this point. There was quite a bit of back and forth about renegotiating the contract or maybe shortening that 50-year commitment window. It wouldn't surprise me if some things reemerge at a later point.
David Hooper, thank you for all the work that you do, and a Merry Christmas to you and your family. Thank you for doing the yeoman's work, trying to keep us all moving, buddy.
Manny, thank you very much, and Merry Christmas to you as well.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Jared Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, David, I want you to really belt this out because it's Christmas time. I want to hear a lot of cheer. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. At the count of three, everybody's going to tell you how it's done. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. We'll see you on the radio on Monday. Bye.